Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Morning, rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Last week, Monday, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Deep Time Crew, and our relationship conversation was things that men do that turn some women on instantly. Now, I had to add that some women because, you know, when you look at this list, it's a little puzzling. But listen, hey, everybody, you know, get their turn on different ways. And some women say that when a man lifts her up, it turns her on instantly. Now, the D-Time crew was a little split on this one. You know, we talked about someone being carried over the threshold. You know, someone being picked up, you know, and they're a little on the heavy side. So, you know, if he picked her up, oh, shucks now. Something might get started. Oh, so, you know, it's not that easy to turn some women on. But, hey, there was a question, and that was one of the answers. Well, chivalry is not quite dead. And because of that, we have some women who get turned on instantly when a man opens up the door or he gives her his feet. Wow. Well, say again, it doesn't take much. Some people doesn't take much. What about the kitty thing? Some people when they see you interact with their children, playing with their kids, you know, doing things with the kids, it turns them on instantly. I hope that she don't let a whole lot of men around her children. But nonetheless, hey, that was on the list. And, you know, we kind of did wonder who they were surveying. But again, to each his own, that's some of the stuff that just turns some women on instantly. Well, we would not be able to complete a Monday morning properly if we did not get that switch tip with Shantice. Don't forget about God. Oh, my goodness. What a big one. What a big one. You know, as we, there's so many ways, you know, as we think about this thing about don't forget about God, there's so many ways to actually forget about God. And there are some like innocent days, if you will. You know, the busyness of your life, the busyness of your schedule, you know, you're paying attention to work and the kids and, you know, all kind of things and, you know, your extracurricular activities and, you know, you're just getting busy. And you don't necessarily mean God no harm, but you know what? You know, all of your important things to do, you know, you kind of push them to the side. And again, you know, we don't want to say maliciously, say, hey, what is God saying about that? That's what we want to say. And then you have the other side of don't forget about God when you intentionally push him to the side to fit in all of the things that you would like to see happen in your life, all of the things that someone else told you is important, someone else being more important than, you know, yes, you do have people who literally push God to the side. And unfortunately, they don't think much of it. Yeah. The enemy has them so twisted that they really think that this is kind of okay, you know? So I don't know, you know, but at the end of the day, you can't forget about God. He's the source of the very air you breathe. How in the world could you possibly forget about God? How? So, you know, you want to make sure those priorities are intact. You know, we go over the priorities of life and we're making that list. That first, the very first person on that list should not be your spouse, should not be your children, but the relationship with God should be the first thing on that totem pole, the highest thing on that totem pole. Don't forget about God, because you surely don't want God to forget about you. And I'm going to leave it right there. Okay? All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around. And we got to talking about that New Orleans pastor who admitted to defrauding the church for 30 years. Yes, over 30 years he was doing his thing. And he stole money from tithes. He stole money from the building fund. He stole money from the school. I don't think there was anything that was free, but that he didn't tap into. And we, you know, we cautioned you as to, you know, hey, where's your tithe going? Are you paying attention to what's actually going on? Do you see what God is doing with your money? You know, he stole from the building fund, you know, so all that money that they collect for the building fund and, you know, nothing ever gets done, that's real. I actually had someone ask me about that. It's real. There are churches who are taking up building fund offerings and there's not a knob fixed in the building. So you want to know, you know, where your, you know, money is going. You want to make sure that someone is not doing what they're not supposed to be doing with church funds. And, you know, just stay on top of things. You can respectfully do that. Don't go up in there and demand them. No. Be respectful. All right? All right. Well, wow. Wednesday rolled around and we were talking to our girl Vivian. And Vivian had some information for us. You know, she says that, you know, the RSV disease is coming back with a vengeance, that there are 7,000 reports this year of positive tests, you know, and last year was like next to nothing. adult, we want to definitely keep that lifted in prayer. Watch your children, see if anything is, you know, going on with them, and make sure that you get them to the doctor. Well, if you have a problem paying your heating bill, Heap is giving away $900 plus to help with your heating bill. And as of January 2023, go to www.otsandtomdsanddavidA.ny.gov/programs/heap to get that assistance with those keeping that heating bill on time. Because you don't want to get that. You won't get behind. You won't get behind. Okay? Trust me, you don't want to get behind. All right, well, what else did Vivian talk about? Well, Vivian also talked about the two men that were exonerated for killing Malcolm X back in 1965, and they are offering each man $18 million. And we don't know what's going to happen with it, because one of the men, unfortunately, is not here anymore to even see justice done. And, you know, he died with people believing that he was a murderer. Well, the 88-year-old man who's left here, his family will get to enjoy that $18 million somehow. But, again, another reason to keep our people lifted in prayer, God's people lifted in prayer, because that the 20-plus years in jail is something that you didn't do. Big thing, a big thing, a big thing to have to experience. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we talked about the sins that women struggle with, and control was on that list. Why do women struggle with the sin of control? Well, simply put, because we haven't had it all the time. Yeah. And now that there's been some liberation given, as far as she's concerned, you know, a lot of women end up going buck wild and forget that God is actually the one in control. But you know what? The first sign of some level of being able to do it for yourself, we can get carried away. So ladies, please make sure you watch that. Well, gossip was on that list as well. And despite the fact that we may not see it the way we used to, oh, I'm sure it still does exist. So ladies, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in that, okay? Don't get caught up in that. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we talked about Kanye West and making him a billionaire again. Yeah, actually, some people really, that's their concern, you know, to make him a billionaire again. Well, we also got to talking about, you know, the fact that he lost his endorsement after he started running his mouth. And we actually started talking about all the other, some of the other athletes that have lost their endorsement deals for their private lives. Yeah. You may want to go check that out. Okay. Well, we talked about our men on Friday by talking to the men and some of the creepiest things that they have done that indicate that they are obsessed with you. And ladies, if he's trying to change you, you may want to check that out. Pay a little more attention to it. You know, might be for the good. Might be for the good, but on the flip side of that, it might not. Okay? Well. You know, the list goes on and on, and I want to make sure that you go back and watch out for those things. Look at the list. make sure that you're not dealing with a creep. Okay? All right. Well, last night was the Word Prayer Project, and we prayed for spiritual growth. Ooh, nice one, nice one, nice one God threw out there for us to pray over. And as always, the prayer requests were deep. Yeah, people went deep, you know, giving God thanks and asking for more spiritual growth. You know, they see where they are. They know they are not where they used to be, but also noticing you ain't where you should be or could be. Or would be. Yeah. So go back and listen. Go back and listen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Yeah, and you can go back and listen to the previous Sunday prayer. But, yeah. Things we struggled with was the topic of conversation and prayer last Sunday to jumpstart our week. So this week, to jumpstart our week, we're talking about spiritual growth. So if you're struggling with that, go ahead and hand it over to the Lord. Well, today is shaking the Monday morning blues. Already we are at the top of a work school week, and we want to give God thanks for just bringing us safely through, you know, the weekend. So come on, come on, come on. Get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I am Chef Manit Chauhan. The one thing I'm even more passionate about than cooking is the health of babies. My hope, like that of every mom, was to deliver a healthy, full-term baby. But for millions of us around the world, that doesn't happen. Premature birth is the leading cause of death in children under 5 worldwide. And it's not only in some far-off place. It happens everywhere. And out of all those premature babies, 1 million die each year. Those who survive can face a lifetime of serious health problems. Right now, babies need all the help they can get. They need you. Help the March of Dimes take on this global crisis. With cutting-edge research, educational programs, and community services, we will not stop until each and every baby gets a healthy start. Let's bring hope to families around the world. Let's fight premature birth.
Good morning. Good morning again, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yeah, we're already at the top of week. Man, oh man, oh man. A lot to give God thanks for. We're going to safely through the weekend, and we're going to make sure we say thanks to God. Because only he could get that done. You know what? Come on, come on, come on. You might want to get those pens out. Let's get to chatting. Let's get this party started. What are we talking about today? Well, there are things that your doctor wants you to know about high blood pressure. Okay. Well, excuse me. High blood pressure has almost no symptoms. but can be doing deadly damage. Now, I have to tell you, this is so true. My mother had really high blood pressure. And there would be times she'd complain about her head was hurting her. Sometimes her back was bothering her. Like all kinds of mishmash stuff. And when they would check her blood pressure, they'd have to keep her in the hospital because her blood pressure was so high that it was actually affecting her back and her legs and her this and her that. And I do know someone else who had problems with their legs and the blood circulation in their legs because of high blood pressure. So, yeah, it's known as the silent killer. And most people don't know that, you know, high blood pressure even exists until they get their pressure taken. So you want to make sure you, you know, pay attention to your body because, you know, they're saying that, you know, most people won't even know also. And then when you turn around, your vital organs have been affected and damaged by high blood pressure. So please make sure you pay attention to your body, okay? The doctors want you to know about high blood pressure. Patients don't understand or take it seriously, okay? They say that most times patients simply take their medication when they have a headache or they don't feel well, but they're reminding you that blood pressure medication needs to be taken on a daily basis or it won't really work, okay? All right, some of the things that doctors want us to know about high blood pressure. Number three, people don't get that hypertension is a chronic disease. Yes, okay. Come on, people. Get yourselves together. They say that, you know, we got to make sure that we change our lifestyle, such as lose weight or change that sodium intake, okay? Take your medication so that your blood pressure can be maintained well, okay? What else do the doctors want us to know about high blood pressure? They say if one medication doesn't work, there are others to try, okay? All medications, it does not work. It's not a one, you know, one size fit all. You know, something that may not work for you, there's other, many, many other medications. And here's the thing, you know, let's aim that we're taking good care of our bodies so that we let this medication get us to where we need to be. Yep, get that blood pressure under control. And then we can change our diet, you know, as we're taking this medication and the diet, you know, our dietary, you know, intake changes, the way we treat our bodies change, and therefore we can come up off these meds. But in the interim, you need the meds. Don't think that you cannot use medication and you can just automatically start doing that on your own. It does not work like that. You have to get it under care first. Then you can wean your way off, okay? So if one medication does not work, there are others that you can try. And just make sure you watch your body when you start taking any medication so that you can let your doctor know. And maybe, you know, you can address it a lot more immediate than you think. What else do the doctors want us to know? Home blood pressure monitoring is useful, especially for older people. You know, remember now you need to monitor that blood pressure. When you can't do it by running to the doctor every 15 minutes, there's many, many, many home monitoring systems. There are those that you put right on your wrist. There are the old-fashioned ones, you know, where you put the cuff on, you know. So, excuse me, make sure you monitor on a regular basis. Again, especially for seniors. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Take your medicine at night. Okay. They say patients who take blood pressure medication at night rather than in the morning may achieve better control and may reduce their risk of cardiovascular disease. All right. They say to remember to take your meds. Set that alarm. Set that alarm. Listen, everybody has a phone, and every single phone has an alarm, has a reminder log. Remind yourself. I don't want to hear. I can't understand when people say they forget to take their medication. I'm sorry. No. Yes. Oh, we're busy. No, I'm sorry. I just don't. Why? There are a million ways to get that done. If you really want to make sure you are healthy, set the alarm. If you don't know how to do that, there is always someone who can help you with that. You know what? Here's a better one. If you cannot set the alarm on your own and before someone can get there to help you, then tell someone to call you. Please call me at 3 o'clock every day. There is nothing more important than you taking your medication. Nothing. You want to be dead? Well, that's the easiest way to get there. So come on, you forget to take it? Okay. Well, now that you realize that you forgot to take it yesterday, then set that alarm today. It's not more that you forget it than you finding a way to remember. And that's what I'm talking about. All right, so come on, let's get, we want you here. We want you here. Your love, you're cared about. Get that medication in you. All right, for high blood pressure or anything else. Okay. The doctors want us to know that cutting your salt can make a huge difference. Yes, remember we talked about that sodium intake. You have to remember something. Everything you eat has a level of sodium. Every single thing. If you don't touch salt at all, everything has a level of sodium. So already you have your sodium, but you need to keep it under control, because we do need to have a daily intake of sodium on a certain level. So we may have to, you know, do a little seasoning, but don't go overboard. They say that lowering your salt intake can make a huge difference on your blood pressure. Okay? The doctors want us to know regarding high blood pressure that your lifestyle changes really make the difference. Okay? So we're not only talking about what you eat. We're talking about the decisions you make. Yes, stress. Stress pushes your high blood pressure up. Pushes your blood pressure up, rather. Excuse me. You know, the things that you do every day, that lack of movement, that lack of exercise, that does affect our blood pressure. Okay? So come on, come on, come on. Let's get ourselves together. Well, I also want to finish really quickly that list of things that, you know, if we hear what's in it, we may not want to eat it again. All righty, we got a couple of minutes before our news gets started, because this was a long list, and I want to make sure that we get that information. All righty, let's see what's going on here. Hmm. Okay, I'm trying to figure out where we left off. Chewing gum. I told you about that. Told you about that Wrigley's chewing gum. All righty. Make sure that you pay attention to, especially Wrigley's, they say. Especially Wrigley's. We went over that and lanolin. It sounds like it's nothing but it's sheep's wool. We're eating sheep's wool, people. All right, so. Oh, here we go. Here's where we left off. Coffee creamer. And the brand that they're talking about is Coffee Mate. All right, they say, do you realize that oil is in your Coffee Mate coffee creamer? They say if you take your coffee white and typically use creamer, they say liquid Coffee Mate uses water, syrup solids, and soybean oil to achieve the consistency of milk. You're getting that extra dose of oil, and you don't have to. Okay. All right. Jell-O. Nah, we stopped eating Jell-O from when I was a kid. Jell-O. What's the ingredient? The gelatin, cow, and pig hide. Yep. You say that animal carcasses is in Jell-O. Oh, my. Wow. Caesar salad. They say that be careful because Caesar salad has anchovies in it. All righty. And they say that you have to make sure that, the Caesar, it looks like the salad dressing. Not the salad itself. Bad wording. Because they're saying Kraft has owned up to the fact that they're including fish and fish allergens are in their dressing. So it's the actual dressing. Well, the Caesar salad with the salad dressing actually makes for the Caesar, quote-unquote, Caesar salad. So I guess that's why they're saying Caesar salad. Excuse me. Parmesan. Wow. They say Kraft and other brands, they say that FDA understands that the wood pulp, otherwise known as cellulose, it's a natural ingredient that's in the, the Parmesan cheese, which makes it clumpy. Oh, my goodness. All righty. Y'all, watch out for that Parmesan cheese if you don't want to be eating wood pulp. Orange juice. Oh, my goodness. Del Monte and some other orange juices. They say no matter how freshly squeezed. Ethyl butyrate. Now that ethyl already sends my eyebrows up. Because isn't that like this toxic, flammable stuff? That always comes up when flammable things come up. They say that ethyl butyrate is commonly used to insert a hefty amount of artificial flavorings into the orange juice. Alrighty? That's what you're drinking when you drink primarily Del Monte's orange juice. Well, when was the last time I even knew that Del Monte made an orange juice? you always think of Tropicana and, you know, those other brands. Well, already that's what's wrong. Enhanced chicken. Now, we talked about this before as, you know, some of those ready-made chickens that you buy, whether it's in a pack, whether you buy the rotisserie chicken, be careful of the sodium intake. They say they have pumped the chickens with salt water. That is a normal process. They say that, you know, it makes the chicken look, makes the chicken not only look juicier, but it is juicier. So we just got finished talking about, you know, the levels of sodium that you take it. So now you have even more. All right. This list is long. We still got some more stuff, but we got to get to talking about our news. And those are not really lengthy today. Everything was kind of short and sweet. And we have a listener suggested and submitted news. And we have this 22-year-old man from Harlem who is charged with killing his mom's ex-boyfriend. And this seems to be some time. So we're not talking about, you know, mom was with the man and, you know, a month or so later, you know. No, we're talking about this has been some time here. So this 22-year-old guy has been indicted for fatally shooting his mother's ex-boyfriend. And they're saying that it's nonsensical because it's been so long that this father of two just was walked up on. Yeah. They say that on September 30th, he was seen on the surveillance video in the Frederick Houses Frederick Samuel apartment on 144th Street. And, you know, with this man who his mother had dated years ago, and some altercation took place, and he was caught on video with two friends wearing a thick vest. He took off the vest and took the vest off the friend. He put it off for protection and then circled the block looking for this man. And when he rolled up on him, he shot him 8 times. They said at least 8 times. And he went to the man's apartment. And they said that, you know, the gun was found in the apartment where he and his mother stayed. And now he's being charged for second-degree murder and criminal weapons possession. And, you know, again, listen, if something is going on with you, say so. They're saying this happened years ago, you know, that him and the mom and this man were together. And I guarantee you something then took place back then. And he's coming to get his revenge. And we've been talking about this revenge thing for a minute, you know, the last couple of weeks. And God will fight your battle. He will fight your battle. And, you know, make sure you don't get in any trouble. But make sure that if anyone's doing anything to you, please speak up. Please speak up. Because going back and getting revenge is only going to cause you problems. Okay? Nobody problems but you. What else are we talking about today? Like I said, our stories were very short. Let's see. Okay, so clearly, you know, age makes no difference in this domestic violence area of life. You have this 70-year-old Queens woman who was found in her bed dead after they did a wellness check. And they are accusing her 77-year-old boyfriend. And if you got a boyfriend at 70 years old, you still got to watch out. You know, as you get older in age, you figure that you leave a lot of this nonsense in life behind. And clearly you don't. Because if you 70 and your 77-year-old boyfriend kills you, we're not talking about your 25-year-old boyfriend kills you. And you may have a couple of dollars in the bank that he might be after. But 77, he's almost 80 years old and he can't control his temper. Oh, Lord have mercy. What? I mean, does it ever stop? So they say when they went in, they found out that she was unconscious, unresponsive, and they pronounced her dead, you know, at the scene. And they are looking to find out from the 77-year-old boyfriend who they have taken into custody what happened and does he have any answers to this situation. Oh, my goodness. What else are we talking about here? Just a quick story, quick story, quick story. All right. Well, A paycheck is in problem in the next story. So somehow or another, they have this David Gordon, who was 51 years old, got into an altercation with his 47-year-old boy. And now he's facing charges, including second-degree murder and, you know, all because they did not agree on his paycheck. I just definitely talking about this on Sabbath. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, they agreed to somehow converse about the fact that this paycheck was not correct. And they ended up into this argument, and he ended up shooting the boss. And now he's being held on $250,000 cash bond. So that one little paycheck sure ain't going to help get this job done of getting him up out of jail. You know, this man left behind a family, and he has a daughter, 13, another daughter, 11, and she says she's still texting her dad every day. She cannot believe that he's not here. And I guess, you know, habits, you know, are already in place. And I guess maybe they help get her through her day. She's texting her dad. So, knowing that he's not here, you know. So, she's not quite expecting a response. But that's how she's kind of coping with the death, the sudden death of her dad. Well, what else are we talking about in our quick stories today? We should call it Quick Story Monday. You know, it's funny because I see why these are quick stories, because it makes for a long conversation. You could actually have a conversation about these stories without even having a whole lot of detail, because it's just ridiculous. They're all ridiculous. They all could be handled. These issues could be handled differently. Well, the last story we are talking about is the man who, goodness gracious, what won't you do, people? So they have this man who they found punched a 10-year-old in the face over some toy dispute. So they say that there was a call to the Memphis police to respond to an assault occurrence. And when they got there, they were told that this man had punched this, 10-year-old boy in the face. So they say that the boy was throwing this toy around the house, and the man got upset. He walked up to the boy and began punching him in the face several times. They say that the police saw that there was a large knot on the right side of the child's face, and the man was arrested and charged with child abuse and neglect and domestic assault, bodily harm. They don't say the relation. They don't say how long he was left with the kid. They don't say what happened when mama came home or whoever came home and found out that he had punched him in the face several times. But I will say that I do know this. That ain't the first time you hit that kid. Nah, you didn't either shoved him, cussed him, and you know, gave him a little elbow here or there. But nah, this ain't your first time. You're not going to commit to just punching him in the face several times for the first time. That ain't happening. Well, let me talk to my two-time crew and see what they have to say about our quick story. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
I am actually well, thank you. Well, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good. Glad to have you on. You know, we got our quick stories this morning, but definitely something to talk about. So you have this 22-year-old who rolls up on the mom's ex-boyfriend from years ago. He takes the, they get into some kind of verbal dispute. He takes the vest off of his friend. He puts it on. They go circling the block. They find him, the ex-boyfriend, and he kills him and shoots him dead. Would you say that something from years ago probably happened, or what comes to your mind?
Oh, yeah. You don't really realize the impact that you can make, good or bad, in somebody's life. I recall a gentleman that I dated years back. He had two little girls, you know, and there was a whole lot of stuff that, you know, because he was a man, you know, there was a lot of things that he didn't even feel comfortable or, you know, he just, you know, he wanted them to grow up as good, you know, good-natured little girls, but, you know, he just didn't feel comfortable, you know, and at that time, I said, well, no problem. I don't mind, you know, talking to them. You know, we went to stores. We bought, you know, intimate apparel, you know, undergarments, that type of thing. You know, talk to them about their, you know, their monthly, that type of thing. And I saw one of the two of them not too long ago, you know, and they were like, you know, because of you, such and such, you know, they were very, very pleased with me being there for the time that I was, you know, and like, these were little girls. They hadn't quite gotten to puberty, but they were on their way, you know, and they're grown with children of their own. You know, one of them has a grandchild. So, you know, when they talked to me, I was surprised, like, wow, you know, like, I figured you forgot me, you know, years back, but you don't realize what impact you have, and you can't tell somebody how they should feel, you know, and obviously there had to be something that you did to this boy as you know, as he was younger, that caused him so much of a grief that he was like, okay, you know what, you're not even worth me arguing with. I'm going to end your life. You know, it was intentional. You took the jacket. So on that frame, just in case you have a weapon, I have on a jacket. So if you shoot me and you shoot me in these places, nothing's going to happen. But I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to keep going till you're out, till you're done, finished.
Yeah, because they shot him. He shot him approximately 8 times, you know, and, you know, trauma is trauma. You don't know when it starts. You don't know where it is. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. Something happened years ago, and maybe he was a little boy and couldn't do anything at the time, you know, and you know, lo and behold, you know, this is what, you know, how you respond now. All right, so you got this 70-year-old woman who was found dead in her apartment out here in Queens, you know, and they're looking at the 77-year-old boyfriend for answers, hoping that he can clear this up, or maybe he's the one who did it. So you're 70 years old. You end up dying in the apartment. Now, clearly, Tamika, it's not of natural causes. There had to be some level of foul play that they see or they're suspecting in order for them to pick up anybody. And now, can you? We're not quite 70. And, you know, you think about even at 70, you still got to worry about boyfriend problems. Lord have mercy. What in the world?
We're at a point where you got to worry about everybody you know, neighbors, you know, relatives, friends, boyfriends, spouses. You just, we're living in a day and time where it's just like everybody that you know, you better off staying by yourself, you know, living in a little bubble. You know, it's sad, you know, that, you know, that should be the case. I'm hoping and praying that he doesn't have anything to do with that. And the reason why I say that is a lot of times whenever someone, you know, passes away of foul play, the first person that you go to is the person that, you know, was closest. You know, if it was some, you know, if it was siblings living in a home, you know, parents living in a home, you know, spouse, lover, boyfriend, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, I don't even know what to say in this situation because, like, you done lived all this life. You're in your 70s. You're thinking, you know, I'm going to, you know, retire and live out the rest of my life, enjoy whatever it is that I can, and you know, you die at the hands of whomever, you know, and that's sad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you just think that, again, at this time in your life, you can lay back and chill. Maybe you're a widow and, you know, you've done, you know, life and you're kind of sitting back. You know, I got me a little partner. Oh, my goodness gracious. You got to worry about foul play possibly at 70. Oh, I don't know, Tamika. I don't know. Well, we're talking about, you know, that paycheck issue. We just got finished talking about this on Sabbath. That's why this is, like, really interesting to me. You know, I talked about how I used to be a payroll administrator. And, you know, they used to be at work at 8:30. Their report time was at 8:30. My report time was at 9. And when I would get there would be a line at my desk. People mad, grumbling, patting their feet, looking at their watches. I'm like, yo, y'all gonna have to chill for a minute. Let me take my coat off. Let me put my pocketbook down. Can I get a good morning? You know, and most times
no,
it wasn't my fault. You
no,
know,
ma'am.
So,
no, no. You know
yeah,
how black folks are about their
yes,
money.
Child. And it wasn't just us. It was the other side of the fence too, child. Whether you are it don't matter. It don't matter. Money, when it comes to your money, man, we all can start acting a little twisted. And they were like a lynch mob. And when I started going through all of the different things, you know, that they were complaining about, a manager hadn't put in the overtime. A manager had got the hours mixed up. Something that you were supposed to tell us or change, you thought you changed, or the medical premium changed, and You wanted to know why your check was $20 shorter. And, you know, I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do with this stuff here. You know, every once in a while, you know, I did maybe, you know, do something. But at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it wasn't anything monumental. You know, and I'm saying that. I'm also saying that, Tamika, saying that, you know, or keeping in mind that, you know, what's, you know, important to one person is not important to the other. You know, so I'm not minimizing. But when I say monumental, ain't nobody going to die. You know, it's all in how we, you know, interpret things. And I was also the type that, you know, my thing was, listen, that could be somebody's milk money. That could be somebody's transportation money. But you're still not going to die. So, you know, I would always, you know, rectify it. And even when I had to battle, you know, when they said, you know, put it in the next check and all of that, I'm like, we don't know if we could do that. We don't know if a person can handle, you know, $57 waiting. $7 is a lot of money to some people. So whatever went on with this particular man, he approached the person who did the payroll or the boss, they say, and it didn't go well. Now the man ends up killing the boss. And now you don't have a paycheck at all. You ain't got to worry about a paycheck now. I don't know, Tamika. Is it just that serious to kill somebody over?
Apparently it is. You know, I know for a fact when it comes to money, you know, like you want your money and you want it now. You know, I've had situations. Matter of fact, not too long ago, you know, I switched positions. I started a new job and something happened with the system. I gave them all of the information that should go by direct deposit. Well, it, for some reason, didn't catch. And so the week that I should have got paid, it was in the mail. And, like, you know, the lady said to me, well, it's in the mail. And I'm like, you know, I was agitated, you know, but it wasn't anything. It was beyond my control. Wasn't anything that I could do about it. I just had to wait. You know, they're not going to cancel the check as it's on its way in the mail. You know, and things happen. You know, situations happen. Yes, I understand that you were planning on that money. But honestly, if something happens, you know, if your bill is late, I mean, it's something that can be, you know, eventually you can work it out. You know, you can tell, you can call, you know, your creditor, listen, you know, sometimes you can explain it away. And sometimes they will look at, you know, if you said it the right way, sometimes they will, you know, give you an advantage. You know, there isn't anything else that you have control. Worry or concern yourself about the things that you have control over. You know, if it's, you know, if we don't know what was the reason for the check issue, but you have to also concern yourself with how you speak to people and how what you're saying is being received. In this situation, 9 times out of 10, he spazzed out, he lost his mind, and the guy is trying to tell him, calm down. You didn't, you know, and you know as well as I do, if you say those two words, calm down, it does the absolute opposite. So
it does, it does,
10,
it does. Yes,
I'm looking
does
at that scenario.
People.
He's just trying to get himself to get, calm down. Now, I ain't calming down. You know, this whole scenario gets larger and larger and larger. And unfortunately, now you don't have a paycheck. You don't have breath. You don't have life. End of story.
Yeah, it just ain't that serious. It really ain't. You worrying about a paycheck, you ain't gonna have to, you don't have that concern anymore. You don't have that concern anymore. We're finishing up with the man who had the little boy in his care. The boy was throwing the toy around in the house, and he just couldn't take it no more and ended up punching the little boy in his face several times. That the little boy had a large knot on the right side of his face. Is it worth it? Is it worth it?
Everybody's not equipped to take care of children. You know, everybody just doesn't have the tolerance, you know. And if you hit that child that many times that he's got a knot, you done so many other things. You know, the child is coming in your direction, you stick your foot out, you know, trip the child, you know, or, you know, you want the child to go to sleep, mommy trying to figure out why the child is whining because you're sitting there pinching him. You know, these are little slick things that you do, and I don't know if that particular time you just snapped. I you know, not really sure what caused you to punch that child like that. You know, okay, fine, you watching, let's just give a scenario, you watching a game. You know, told that child to stop playing with that thing, and it's making noise. You can't focus, you know, and because you're so focused on the game, you just snap. You just hit him. But, you know, you're just trying to stop the noise, you know. But, again, you know, your emotions, those type of things, honestly, I feel like you don't just all of a sudden wake up and then just hit a child 5, 6 times, 20 times, however many times. This is something that you have been doing for a while, and you should have nipped it in the butt at that time. Be like, listen, you know, I can't take care of such and such. You know, you be honest. You know, they don't listen. They don't pay attention. When I tell them to put something down, they keep doing it. You yourself have to do a self-assessment and realize, maybe I'm not cut out to watch this child, you know, so that it doesn't get to this situation here.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it just ain't worth it. Thank you for joining us today. Tamika, let's talk to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Taking it that you're doing well also?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now. Thank you for joining us today. So, we got our quick stories today. We have the guy who, 22, who after many years approached, you know, his mom's ex of many years and hunting him down and killing him, shooting him at least 8 times. What comes to your mind, conspiracy theorist?
Well, you know, I always got one or two. Well, my thought was that, like it was already stated, abuse. I thought of abuse. I thought of him being a child. I thought of he's probably seeing this man do something to his mom. I also thought of this man doing something to him. And when he saw him, he no, it's not right, but that's what my thought went to, him having a flashback moment, and he always said, when I get older, I'm coming after him. No matter how many years it be, I'm still coming after him, and that's what he did.
Yep. That when I get older, when I'm a man, when I can, I ain't gonna forget. And, you know, mama boyfriend, listen, if you living in, what's the name of them houses? Wait, hold on. If you living in the Frederick Samuels apartment on West 104th Street in Harlem, and you was living in them back then, you still living in them now. So I know where to find you. You ain't went very far. You ain't went very far. So, yes, that was just some delayed vengeance and revenge move that took place. I agree with you 100%. All right.
And also, Pastor Steph, I thought he got friends, and he probably had an old picture. And, you know, before he went over on that side of town, and he probably had a picture of him. And they said, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah, he still live here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You got him showing people the picture. I'm too dumb with you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but he ain't going nowhere. He's still living in them apartments. So it's easy to find him and to seek out, you know, the opportunity to kill him. And you know it's some revenge. 8 times he shot him. Nah, he's getting him back. It's not like he just, you know, talked to him and some, you know, verbal exchange took place and he pulls out the gun and he shoots him. You shot this man at least 8 times. Oh, you remembering something, Pastor Charlotte. You remembering mm-hmm. something. You got 8 bullets for 8 times. I couldn't do something about you 13 years ago. How about that one? This is the time when you slapped yep. up. This is the time that you slapped me. This is the time that you tripped me. And this is the time you punched me in my face when I was throwing that toy around.
Maybe I thought of more than that. I thought of that he might have sexually did something to him.
Yeah, I'm not negating that. I'm not negating that because that was actually one of the first things. I agree with you. That was actually one of the first things that, you know, came to my mind. And maybe that was, you know, the 8th bullet. You know, that's a memory. That's a memory. At least eight mm-hmm. times. That's somebody remembering something and really coming back to get you for what they could not do to you years ago. So I thought of many different scenarios and sexual, advances and molestation and things like that did actually come to my mind as well. And, you know, things stay with people. Like Tamika said, you can't just walk off mm-hmm. and just assume that people forget what you've done. Now, can you imagine if it was something like that and here you are years later, you and mama ain't together no more, whatever you did, even if it was her, you hitting her. You thought you were in the clear. You thought that he was a kid. You thought that when she separated from you, Pastor Charlotte, she took her rotten kid with her, and everybody was off and in their own direction. You go east, I go west, we fine. And look at what happened years later. Look at what happened mm-hmm. years later. So, yeah, you know, if it was something sexual, oh, that definitely stayed. And you gonna have to you ate that in a very special way. A very special way. All right, now, Pastor Charlotte, we talk about that 70-year-old woman who was found dead in Queens. Did a boyfriend do it? Is the question. We still gotta worry about this kind of stuff when we 70, Pastor Charlotte. I don't know.
He did it because she got tired of him. And you know that saying that they say, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Oh,
and
my.
He figured that he's 70, even if, yeah, they think like that too. And even him doing it, he figured, well, even if he go to jail, he ain't going to live but so long anyway. So I say he did it. I wasn't there, but I know he did.
You haven't heard information the first. And you didn't made the man the culprit. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but like mm-hmm. I said, you know, clearly you wouldn't be put, this would not be an investigation that you are a part of, you know, unless some foul play is suspected and they need to get some answers from the closest person. So hopefully he didn't do it, Pastor Charlene. I'm really hoping that, you know, this woman did not decide in her elder years to, you know, have some, you know, partner, and he took her life for any reason. So I'm really hoping that that's not what happened.
He's going to play like he ain't going to remember because he's 77. That's the first thing that his lawyer going to say anyway. He don't remember. He blocked out. He took a pill, you know, something. But she just got, you know, she might have a little young thing, you know, and she got tired of him. So I don't know.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? Right now, I'm hoping to hear, you know, that he didn't do it. I'm hoping to hear, you know, they bring back, or sometimes they do follow up with stories. And hopefully this is not, you know, one that ends with him being the one who actually took her life. Mm-mm-mm. All right, Pastor Charlotte. The paycheck. It got that serious. that you end up killing your boss over the argument regarding the paycheck? Is it that serious?
Well, money. I thought of that it probably wasn't the first, the 10th. It probably had problems before, because I know that when I was working, people used to have issues because the person didn't particularly, the supervisors that put the time in didn't particularly care for them. So they were always seen to mess up their money. And they would say over and over, go to the office, let them know my money is wrong. And then it'll always point back to that same person. He didn't put the time in. He didn't put it in right. You done did all this overtime. You don't see your money. You know, and they get tired. They get tired after a while of telling you the same thing. So is it right? No, it wasn't right. To get to that point, sometimes some people will get to that point. And like you said, he has nothing. But at that moment, you know, you don't really think of that, you know, and he's mad. But that's what happens when you mess with people, money. And like you said, money ain't got no color. Money ain't got no age, no agenda. Because when you mess with people, money, how many times are you going to make my money wrong?
Absolutely. That's what happens. Absolutely. You know, people, for the love of money. You know, it's at the end of the day, you don't have a dollar. You don't have a paycheck to look forward to. You know, so unfortunately, you know, these children, and we don't even know about his family composition. Maybe he's not, you know, maybe he left some children on the outside of that prison, you know, and now you have two families that have been affected, you know, for this act of you, you know, losing it about your paycheck. So, you know, and unfortunately, well, a paycheck ain't the only thing they losing it over every day. You know, we see that. We're looking at arguments and disputes that end up in death. So hopefully, you know, the little girls who, you know, one little girl is texting her dad, you know, who's no longer here. He's 47 years old. He was 47 years old when he was, you know, murdered. You know, so he's kind of young, and he has young children. So, unfortunately, that's what we have going on here.
And also, I thought of, too, the one that killed him, he might have been just the breadwinner in his family.
Yeah.
And everything fell on him.
That's right. That's what I agree with you. That's why I said it might be two families we're talking about, you know, because, you know, most times you're thinking about, you know, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to, you know, I need to get this. We need to get that. We need to get Pampers, whatever the situation is. You know, you have, like you said, a responsibility to other people. And now you have this issue and you don't know how to handle your anger. So now, who's the breadwinner of the family now? You sure can be. You know, so when we lose it, we got to think of the cost of losing it. Well, the cost of losing it is going to take you to jail for child abuse and neglect and domestic assault, bodily harm, when the little boy couldn't play with the toy in your presence to the point that you end up punching him in the face several times and putting a knot on the side of his face. Well, something to think about. Something to think about, Pastor Charlie.
Yeah, that right there. I agree with y'all. It was more than just that time. And if you can't handle it, you know, everybody needs a break, because you know we all have children and constantly you trying to take a moment, and they constantly with them throwing the toys around, screaming and hollering, you know. But he should have did a timeout with himself. I'm 10 years old, he ain't gonna really hurt himself, but you know, to take a timeout, and with that, I thought of not him just punching him. I thought of him of hitting his head on something for a knot to be on, you know, besides you hitting him.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's a possibility. So you'd be right.
Mm-hmm.
You might
mm-hmm.
be right.
Hitting him on the wall or on the floor.
Right. Right. And it's definitely a possibility. The good part about this is he's 10 and he can talk. So he can tell exactly what happened. So, like you said, even if it's not just the blows from his fist, but, you know, him hitting his head on something else, you know, just praying that there's no damage done and he can live a normal life. So, we have a whole series of stories.
I just wanted to say this piece, too. This 10-year-old young boy will go back to our first story. He go back and find this man. That's how it starts.
Yep. Well, he go visit him in jail because that's where he going to be for a minute. That's where he going to be for a minute. You go ahead and visit him because you'll know where to find him for a while. So, especially in this climate of this child abuse and this domestic abuse and domestic violence, they're handling it much differently than years ago. You ain't walking away from your things with children these days. They are not accepting this behavior and taking it lightly anymore. Anything you talk about locking up the social worker who was negligent, they definitely locking up the perpetrator. So, you know, let justice be done. I hope they lock them up for a long time, you know, because you can always tell people, you know what, I'm sorry. I can't do this. You know, he don't listen. Mm. And you know what? I don't want to do nothing that I'm a regret later. So we don't know if this was his boyfriend. We don't know if this who this was. We know it wasn't the father. But who this was, you know, we don't know. So, you know, prayerfully, you know, there could be a level of this little boy moving on so that he does not come back, like you said, Pastor Charlotte, to become our, you know, our conversation as this very first story. So thank you, ladies, for indulging me in our local news. Our conversation today, you know, last week we talked about, you know, things that men do that turn women on instantly. Well, this week I stumbled across the signs that, you know, you're dealing with let me rephrase this. The signs that you're desperate, ladies, and is turning your man off, or the man that you're dealing with off. So it's a little twist to this. You know, last week we talked about how, you know, you were lifted up and how you were all excited afterwards. Well, we're going to talk about you today. And our brother Al has joined us. So we'll begin with him. Let's say good morning to brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning. How are you doing on this Monday morning?
I am well, thank you, and thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking about the things that women do that show that she's desperate and is turning him off. And the first thing they mention is they say you're constantly defending him from your family and friends. And you're acting pretty desperate, Brother Al. But it's turning him off. Why would defending him from your family and friends turn him off?
I was about to ask you the same question. Because, you know, that's a crazy one. Because the man is sitting back saying, that's right, baby, tell him how it is. Tell him how it is. Now, that might seem to the family members that, wow, she's desperate and, you know, and all that. But to the man, he said, that's right, baby, Just tell them how it is. I tried to tell them they didn't want to listen. Maybe they listen to you. So I disagree with that as far as turning the man off.
All righty. Well, some man just said it turned him off. We may not be able to gather his psyche, Brother Al. Tamika, we're talking about the things that women do that indicate that they're desperate and it turns the man off. Now, she's defending him against her family and friends. That's one thing. But why is it turning him off?
The only thing that I could think of is, you know, why won't you let me speak for myself? You know, if there's something that needs to be redeemed, I'm grown, I'm of age, I should be able to speak for myself. Every time something happens, I don't need you to defend me. You know, I said what I said, and it is what it is. And if your family don't like it, then they can go. But you defending me? No. I could see that being a problem, you know, because one of the things that you don't want to ever do is, you know, mask a man's mouth and, you know, he can't say what he has to say and, you know, do or be who he wants to be around family. And I think that could be the thing. You're putting limitations and that would turn him off.
That makes sense. I have to tell you, I didn't think about that one. But that does make sense. That does make sense. Pastor Charlotte, you know, he says, listen, you're defending me against your family and friends and it's turning me off. Why do you think it's turning him off?
Well, I thought of him, maybe he ain't feeling what you feeling and he's trying to stop you from saying that how we are such a couple and we ain't.
Okay.
I'm just here enjoying the moment.
Wow.
You know, that was my first thought. You know, because sometimes that us women, we put more into the relationship where there is no relationship. You know, he's not on the same page as you. You might think that because he spent time with you. You might think that because he take you around some people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's in the same relationship as you.
Wow, you ladies hit on something here. Maybe. Didn't think of that. Didn't think of that at all. Wow. All righty. Well, they say indications. This is really weird. This maybe y'all, there's another one that I'm like scratching my head for. They say that you're always letting his inconsideration and indiscretion slide and is turning him off. I don't know, Tamika, can you figure that one out?
I'm scratching my head on that one. I'm sorry. That one, I'm like, huh? Who wrote this one?
I don't
know. Thing I can say
it might be the same one who wrote the last week. I don't know. So let's talk about the fact that you're showing that you're desperate. Let's leave it there. You're showing that you're desperate when you let his inconsiderations and indiscretions slide. How does that show that you're desperate?
Well, I could see that. You know, you don't care anything, you know, about me, and you're kind of showing it, you know, in the things that you do and the things that you act. And I kind of just pacify, oh, it's okay. That's just how he is, you know. And so I'm always the one getting the last of everything. You know, you handle everything else, you know, your family, your friends, your such and such, and I'm the last on the bunch, you know, the last of your list, even if I'm on the list at all, you know. And so for me to just kind of continuously pacify it, yeah, that's definitely a sign that I personally am desperate.
All righty. Pastor Sharlin.
I thought of that because I got a man. Regardless of what he do, regardless of how he treat me, there are some women, I just got to have a man to say that I have one. And that just shows desperate, you know, he don't take you nowhere. He don't do nothing for you, nothing for you. He talk to you however, but I got a man. and everybody knows that this is my man. So some women are just desperate just to say that they have one.
You said this is my man. Wow. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Came to my mind, came to my mind the same way you ladies are talking. Brother Al, how is she showing she's desperate by, you know, letting his indiscretions and, you know, his inconsiderations slide? How's that showing that, you know, this is a desperate woman right here?
Well, to even go to the original, where he was trying to figure it out, I would say, especially like in my case, you know, most men don't like or want a weak woman. So if everything I'm saying, you saying, okay, this and that, that would turn me off. Like, wow, you ain't got no backbone. Just whatever I say, go. You know, so on that end, I would say that's a turn off. And as far as showing you desperate, again, because whatever I say, go. You know, let's go outside and I'm going to sit here and watch you cut this tree down. You say, okay. You know, I'm going to go outside. Hey, look, we're going to get up Saturday morning and we're going to paint. And I'm sitting there watching you paint. You say, okay. So everything I do or say, you okay with it. So that's showing you desperate because you don't want to say anything that might make me say, you know what, I ain't messing with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad you introduced the other dynamic that, you know, I couldn't figure out, you know, but it makes sense. You know, if anything I'm doing is, you know, you're okay with, then yeah, that makes sense. That makes every bit of sense that it would turn, you know, a man off, because I ain't perfect, dag. You making excuses for everything I do. So thank you for introducing that dynamic. Interesting. Pastor Charlene, it says, you haven't been single in, I like this one. You haven't been single longer than a week in all your adult life, and it turns a man off after you just show you desperate. What you think about that one?
Okay. I'm not understanding. Who's been for a week? Me or him?
No. They're saying the signs that a woman is desperate, and the extension right. is that a man is turned off about it. So you haven't been single a whole week in your adult life. That first shows that you're single, that you can't be without a man. And now oh. it turns and that you went off.
Absolutely. And that goes right back. I gotta have a man. It don't matter. He got one eye. He got a hump in his back. Long as he's a man, and you go from one relationship, and I'm not going to leave him until another one is right there. And I do know people who they have that thing of they can't be alone. They cannot have a partner in their life. So that is definitely desperate because they don't want to even take time to know who they are. So absolutely desperate.
All right.
I think they say thirsty.
Yep, they call it thirsty.
Okay.
I don't know if they got a new name for it out there, but that's the last I heard. It was thirsty. Brother Al, she hasn't been single a whole week in all her adult life. She's desperate for a man, and that turns you off as a man.
It sure do. That sounds like she invented the word desperate. You know, you can't. You know, you your whole life, you can't be without a man. You know, and that says a lot. Like, okay, so if anything ever happened to me, I know by next week, you're going to be with somebody else. You have to have somebody in your life. You clingy. You know, you clingy. So, yes, that's definitely a turnoff.
All righty. Tamika, we all know that chick who we just, girl, you can't be without a man.
And it's turning, it's so bad it turns him off. The new him.
Yeah. The sad part about that is it could do one of two things. You know, it could bring curiosity, you know, like, you know, because you've been with a couple of people, you know, sometimes it becomes attractive. But then after a while, when you really, really look into the whole thing and you realize, okay, so she was, I remember a situation, someone that I know, she did just that. She broke up with this guy and she went back with the one prior to him to hold the space until she got a new one. And when the new one came, then she broke off with the old one, you know, and like the one that became the reusable, you know, kind of like a recycle, you know, he was like, wait a minute, you know, did I just get used, you know, and he told her about herself, you know, afterwards, because like, you used me, you know, I thought that this was going to be something. So, you know, and like when he finished telling her off, you know, it was a really sad sight. But unfortunately, you know, he told the truth. You know, you can't be by yourself. You know, you need to be able to get yourself healed. How are you going to be in a relationship with somebody else when you're using damaged goods? You know, it's kind of like I'm bringing old trash to something, you know, new. And you keep recycling the same thing. Recycle, you know, after a while, you can only recycle so much. You know, let's just look at products. You know, after a while, it becomes all trash. And you keep giving people your trash to take. It's not fair.
Wow. Well, here's one that to me says the same thing, but has a little twist on it. They say, you know, when she reasons that it's better than being alone, you know, if that's her theory, it shows that she's desperate. And it turns a man off, Brother Al.
Oh yeah, I'm running for the hills, you know. And I've had friends that I spoke with said that, you know. And even to take it a little further, I had a friend tell me, "Well, I'd rather have half a man than no man at all." And I'm like, "Wow, you know that you just straight telling me you're desperate. You know he married or he got a girlfriend, and you saying, well, you know what? I'll take half." And you know, and it's what it is. I'd rather have that half than no half. And, you know, it gets bad, you know, and I want these women to listen to what you accept. You know, I had a friend that was dating a married man. And I'm like, yo, but he's married. She's like, well, he takes care of me, this and that. And she actually hung around to that man's wife died. And then he married her. And I'm like, you don't feel no type of way? Then she wondering why his kids don't like her. I don't know why they don't like me. Because he was messing with you while their mother was sick. Ooh. So people accept that. And I'm like, you hung around. And then especially she was thinking about moving on. And then when she heard the wife was sick, she said, okay, cool, mom. You know, I hate she's sick. But, you know, let me hang around just in case. And she's living happy, and I'm just sitting there like, wow. And the kids, his kids hate her, and she don't know why. And I said, wow, well, you need to recheck yourself then and wonder why. Their mother was in the dying bed, and the father was messing with you, and now you're married. Like, that's crazy.
Wow. How soon, Brother Al, did he marry her after the wife passed away?
A month.
Are you serious?
So this said the wife died in January. He married her in February.
Wow.
The disrespect alone, you know, just like, wow.
Right. Wow. What's the relationship between the kids and the dad?
Well, you know, the kids are grown. So they the relationship is not good with them either. He just kind of got the I don't care attitude. So the kids are like, you know, screw you, and you know, so their relationship is not good as well. So I spoke to her about it. And I said, you do realize that you have destroyed a family. But I didn't force him to be with me. That's like, we're not talking about him. I'm talking about you, and you're gonna be held accountable for that. Do you understand that?
Wow. Oh, show she's desperate, Brother Al. Show she's desperate.
Oh, yeah.
a lot of women out here who are like that. Tamika, you know, her theory is better than being alone. That shows she's desperate, and it can turn a man off.
Yeah, some women, it doesn't matter. You just get a portion of, you know, he works, he's a trucker, you know, so, you know, he has an entire family, you know, wife, kids, you know, but he comes by, you know, on Tuesdays and Fridays. So you know, spiff yourself up on Tuesdays and Fridays because, you know, he's coming by, you know, just a piece, a portion, you know, so the rest of the week you staying by yourself, you know, no holidays because all holidays go to the wife, you know, you the standby, you know, you the side chick, and you accept that because I got a piece, I got a portion, you know, my friends have met him, you know, my family has met him, but that's, I mean, you know, he has an entire family, you know, do you not realize how desperate you are, you know, and the sad part about it is that, you know, he'll accept whatever it is that you're giving him because he has an entire family, you know, and so everybody else is looking at this situation going, boy, she is really desperate, you know. And, you know, Brother Al just showed it, you know, how many years do you stand by? You're not even the real deal. You just, you know, a counterfeit, you know, and you have to realize, you have to really face that out. Am I the real deal or am I the, you know, carbon copy or the counterfeit or the standby for years or decades until he decides that maybe. And then even in that, you're not guaranteed that he's coming to you. In that situation, it works. But you've been standing by for how many years? He said, okay, well, you allowed it for that much time. I want somebody who's going to be mine or mine, and I don't have to do that. So, you know, next.
Wow. Ooh, something to think about. Pastor Charlene, you know, when she has that better than being alone attitude, shows she's desperate, turn him off. The next him.
Absolutely. Well, if you have been able to, he comes by, bring his laundry, get something to eat because you want to make this big food, this big menu out for him. And then you want to sleep with him. And he don't really want to be with you, but he act like he's with you because you're so thirsty and desperate that you see, once again, that relationship. A lot of times we in a relationship by ourselves and don't even know it. And some of the men tell you, it's not what it is. And they'll hang around, just like they said, until either the lady passed, and then you're going to wish you didn't, because a lot of times what you thought looked good and you thought what she had that you want to get and you don't, that also, or you think that he's going to make you his number one woman and you'll never be. He already has one. So when you just being there and he's just doing whatever, and you, because you thirsty, some men just don't like that. And then there's some men that don't mind it because they're going to get what they want to get, even though that they're not mentally involved with you. So you have to be very careful, ladies, and stop being thirsty. The men supposed to chase us. It's not us chasing them.
All right now. Ooh, what a load of advice today. Thank you so much, my Due Time crew. And we pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you for joining us.
You all do the same.
Have a great day.
Thank you. All righty. Oh, what a conversation. Well, you know what time it is. It's the top of the hour. And we get a chance to get the switch tip for the week. Well, the switch tip with Shantice is underway. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 125 is don't have substitutes. Now, substituted a person or thing acting or serving in place of another. And this came across my mind a while ago again, because I remember us, our church, and we have our night where we just all come together and we talk. And somehow, like, our speech came up, like the way we speak and how we talk to people. And again, if you've been keeping up with the Due Time with Pastor Steph, y'all have heard me mention our word fast list a few times, and sarcasm is one of the words on our word fast list that we need to stay away from forever and ever. Amen. So there's no time limit on it. We're not staying away from these words for 40 days and 40 nights. No, it's forever. Like, we just need to stay away from speaking these things. And it seems like since I said, okay, God, I'm going to write this list down and really meditate and focus on it, I've been getting real crazy with my sarcasm. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's because things and people have been annoying me, including myself, have been annoying me a little more. I don't know. But we were talking about it, and, it came up, you know, even our profanity, you know, do we curse a lot? Have we noticed that we don't curse as much? And I remember one of them was saying, like, oh, well, Shantice, instead of her cursing as much now, she's called people a winner. And I just started laughing because I didn't realize they were paying attention that much as to how I would use winner, you know, as a substitute for, like, stupid or, you know, actual cuss words. You know, so I would say, look at this winner over here who did something stupid. And that falls in the category of sarcasm. And then another conversation came up with me and someone else, and, you know, I remember saying how, you know, okay, I don't drink anymore. You know, God, about, you know, drinking, he showed me how much I was drinking. I didn't realize I was drinking that much. And instead of now drinking alcohol, I started using soda as a substitute. And I remember saying out loud a few times, like, I just need that fizz, you know, that acid in the soda, you know, it, for some reason, it kind of substitutes the alcohol. So if liquor ever crossed my mind, and instead of me going to the liquor store and getting a drink, or when we're out, instead of ordering, you know, a martini or shots, that's what I really did. I didn't really do a lot of the girly drinks. But, you know, a shot of tequila or something, you know, I'd order a soda. And, you know, God let me rock a couple of times, and then he was just like, yeah, you're going to have to not only stop saying that out loud, but you're going to have to really even curb the way you think about it. You know, you no longer drinking soda, that's something I have to deal with you anyway. But when now that you're using that as a substitute to take place, you know, that's really dangerous. And you really have to make sure that we're focusing on getting rid of our bad habits completely. So, again, in general, you know, we're being told, especially if we pay attention to the health tips that Pastor Steph gives every morning, we know that soda is not healthy for you. But me in particular, I cannot drink soda as much as you probably can. And that brought me to Proverbs 28:13 in New Living Translation, which reads, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So while I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I can substitute a cuss word for another word that now has me being sarcastic, which is already a sin, especially since I know I should not be sarcastic because he has given me that word to stay away from. And remember the verse we brought up a few weeks ago, that when you know what to do but don't do it, that alone is a sin. Pay attention how you just hang yourself. You know, and even with the soda, now I'm using that as a substitute. If I now focus on getting rid of these bad habits completely, I will receive a lot of mercy. And not to say, well, God, you know I'm struggling with this thing, so I'm giving myself more time. No, but God will give concession to what he knows. He knows how deep you are into these bad habits. You know, let him dictate how you move as he brings you out of these habits. Your intentions make the difference, okay? And another synonyms for intentions is your purpose, your scheme, and your desire. And I chose these three words because, again, a lot of times we like to think that we're tricking God, or we're playing, you know, okay, well, God doesn't really know this, or, you know, if I do this way, no. But God pays attention to the purpose, our purpose, the schemes, if he pays attention to the schemes of the enemy, you don't think he pays attention to our schemes, and he pays very close attention to our desires. So Proverbs 6:16-19 in the Message version reads, here are six things God hates and one more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family. Those things that he hates and that he loathes with a passion goes right back to how he analyzes your purpose, your schemes, and your desires. Your heart determines your intentions. This is why. Yes.
We're losing you. We're losing you badly. And we don't want to use any part of this, but this is a good one. So please find a better spot so we can get every single piece that we can get you out of this moment.
Hello?
Pastor Steph?
Yes.
Okay. I'm about to hit. This is hitting somebody because I don't know what just happened. Okay. So what is the last thing you heard me say, Pastor Steph?
I don't even remember.
Okay. Did you hear me talk about the things that God hates, the abominations?
I think that's where I lost you.
Okay. So after we go over the six things that God hates and is an abomination, really quick, eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under an oath, a troublemaker in the family, that all goes back to your heart, which determines your intentions. This is why he hates those things, because our hearts are not supposed to be black and nasty like that. So Psalm 44:20-21 in the New Living Translation reads, if we have forgotten the name of our God or spread our hands in prayer to foreign gods, God would surely have known it, for he knows the secrets of every heart. So your intention exposes those secrets that we try to conceal, meaning cover up, which then goes back to the things that we try to substitute. And again, these two verses that I just read is the reason that people shy away and hate reading the Bible and going to church, because God exposes all of those things that we try to substitute, all those things that we try to hide. God just brings that out. And before he brings it out in front of other people, he exposes it to you. But if we do not allow him to mature us, we hate those things. We hate to see those things. Okay, Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15 in New Living Translation reads, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. It is not up to us to try to, listen, again, let's focus on getting rid of these bad habits and these sins completely. If we are trying to cover up all of the things that God is trying to strip us from by substituting, whether it's your speech, whether it's the way you live, the way you think, again, God analyzes and he addresses our thoughts, because anything that we say and or do starts in our hearts, goes up to our brain, then comes out in our words and our deeds. So, yes, he analyzes and addresses our thoughts as well. We cannot continue to move out here with acting like, and let me listen, it is a lot easier to allow God to help you get rid of these bad habits than to try to cover it up, because all you do is make a bigger mess. So let's make sure we're making the conscious decision from having substitutes to just focusing on getting rid of our bad habits completely. Because the more we try to substitute, the more we try to replace something, put something in the place of another instead of getting rid of it completely, we then go back to these six things that God hates. And especially if we call ourselves a Christian, to make sure that we are quickly running away from being an abomination to God. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. Thank you for that switch tip. And we pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
All righty. Wait. Give us the title of your switch tip again, please.
Don't have substitutes.
Don't have substitutes. Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, what a morning. What a morning filled with a whole lot of goodies this morning. And let's get that benediction. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 4, 5, and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. You know, this morning we talked about, is it worth it? Every single one of those stories, at the end, we can ask ourselves, is it worth it? Was it worth it? You know, whether it was, you know, somebody who did something to me when I was a kid, and all I want is revenge. And, you know, I come back years later, excuse me, and I, you know, murder the person who has clearly done something. Whether it's the man who was arguing over the paycheck because he had to feed his family and his check is short and, you know, you don't seem to have as the boss. You don't seem to have the concern that I have to feed and take care of my family. And I get so angry that I end up murdering you. Well, now your family has no paycheck from you. Because even if they give you a job in jail, it's not gonna be there. You're not going to be able to do anything for your family. Every single one of these stories, you know, could end with, was it worth it? And Shantice talks about, you know, don't find a substitute. Don't make a substitute. Don't substitute one for the other. You know, we talked about signs that you're desperate. Signs that you're desperate and connected to our desperation is connected to substituting. What are you using as a replacement for loneliness? Well, hey, now it's better to be alone. It's better than being alone. I need a man to fill the gap and make me feel better. That's the substitute. Those are the things that you're putting in place of God. Those are the things that you're putting in place of, you know, what God has given to fill our life. You know, having a relationship with him, developing a relationship with him. Guess what? We end up replacing one for the other, and at the end of the day, as long as you do not put God at the top of your list, as long as you do not seek and find yourself spiritually growing, you will always end up in this life you will always end up in a life of substituting, because you'll keep trying to put things in place where you'll have, I'm trying this, I'm trying that today. Oh, what about this? What about that? Whether it's words, whether it's things, whether it's people, don't substitute. There's no substitute for God. There's no substitute for a life in Christ. Nothing. You know, it's not all peaches and cream. It's not supposed to be all peaches and cream as you walk, you know, as you go on this Christian journey. But it is surely better than being out in the rain without an umbrella at all. And you don't only have rain that's coming down, but now that rain has turned to sleet and hail. That, you ever had, you know, like hail and sleet hit you? It hurts. But if you had that umbrella, that covering, that protection, there is nothing like having God as your sword and shield. Nothing. Nothing. There is no replacement whatsoever for that. And when we find ourselves, you know, like this desperate woman, you know, she has many faces, this desperate woman. And we just talked about some of her faces. We talked about, you know, the things that she does. You know, her attitude of it's better than being alone. You know, her, I got to have a man on my arm at all times. I can't be by myself. You know, a woman who constantly lets inconsideration and indiscretion slide because she'd rather have a man than to not be with one at all. One who's always defending him against family and friends and always trying to make him look good and trying to get people to see that, you know, he's a good man. You know, he's good. Y'all just got to give him a chance. Have you? Oh, my gosh, have you ever heard that one? Y'all just don't know him like I do. You know, just give him a chance. That's what we're talking about today. Anytime you have to make excuses for a person, your man, really, and I mean excuses. I'm not talking about explaining where there's some legitimate, you know, issue there. I'm talking about making excuses. Follow what I'm saying. Anytime you got to constantly explain and make excuses for him, he ain't worth none. He ain't worth nothing. And you need to figure out why you're substituting, you know, what you could really have with this. You know, like Brother Al laid out a very, very typical, you know, that's as foreign as it may seem. That's what women do. So let's let God fill in all the gaps and the holes in our life. And you ain't got to worry about substituting anything, because you'll always have the real deal. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my new town crew for always coming through big time for us. Please go back and listen to some of those tips. Ooh, very good today. Very good today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give your life to Christ right now, or to deepen that relationship right now with God, because later is not promised to each and every one of us. Thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us do what we do. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. God spare our life. God spare our life. God spare our life. Until then, I love you.